Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Podcasting once again with Mike and Joel on the Growing in Grace podcast. Thank you for finding us, sharing it with a friend. Hopefully we've got something here that we'll have to share today that will enlighten and encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're kind of going into our 20th year here now. We've been doing this for over 19 years. We were just talking recently, Joel and I, off the air, that many things that we have discussed, we will continue to discuss because it's just the good news. But there's always kind of a different perspective, or maybe we've grown in our understanding of some things, or maybe the Spirit will help us say some things in a different way that we'd never said before that help us too. We were just talking, Joel, about sometimes when we're writing, because we both like to write, in the middle of writing, sometimes all of a sudden something just pours out, and you and me as writers, I'm sure there are many others out there who could testify to this, you take a look at what was just written and you realize, I've never looked at it that way before. How did I not see it like this before? This was explained in a way I've never heard before, and it just, you know, kind of makes the light bulb come on a little bit brighter. So hopefully we'll be able to share some things here today that will just strengthen your inner being in the Lord Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's really what it's about. That's what we're here for. I mean, we wouldn't be doing this for any other reason. Certainly not doing
We're not making much money on this.
Right, thing. I was going to say.
I mean, there are people, you turn on the news channel or something, and the guest that they have on there is host of the Blankety Blank podcast, you know, and I'm like, how many thousands of podcasts are out there? But some of these people are making a living doing it. We're just offering it for free, which I think is sort of symbolic of the gospel.
Yeah, it's a free gospel. It was presented to us for free. I mean, we didn't, you know, Jesus ultimately, he paid the price, and he gave of himself freely. And so when we're doing this, we want to give of ourselves freely. With that said, I can understand when there are ministries who are they want to get the word out, and they ask for donations for the purpose of getting that word out onto other platforms and into a bigger audience, that type of thing. I mean, I understand that, but when people are padding their pockets with preaching the gospel, to me, that's just a different thing. Anyway, that's not our point here, but all that to say is that we want to make what we do here freely available to people, and one way that we can do that is not by you giving us any money. Just send bacon. That's all that you need to do. Just send bacon, and we'll be happy. But really, word of mouth, social media, if you can spread the word, if you can just share the podcast via social media or however else you would do it, that's how this all gets shared. So in Galatians, you know, we were talking about last week how, you know, Paul, in these early days and years of the church, this gospel message came out. The truth of the gospel, this gospel message of, you know, Jesus Christ died and he rose again. He died for the sins of the people and he rose again so that people who believe can be risen together with him for eternity. And there were people in those early days. See, Jesus had walked among the Jews as a Jewish person, and he had taught the Jews, and even his disciples were Jewish, and he taught them many Jewish things and many things about the law, because the law was given for certain purposes. And then he had this thing called his death and resurrection, and a new covenant came to be that was not based on the law. And in those early years of the church, there were a lot of people who didn't understand that, and they thought that the law had to be mixed in They didn't think that the law ever died. They didn't think that the old covenant was necessarily done away with. This new life, this new thing called the way, this life in Jesus Christ, oh, it's great that he died for the sins of the people. Now have faith in him. It's great. And also keep the works of the law. And so there were a lot of people who believed that. And then when Paul came along and began teaching what he had learned from the Spirit himself, from God directly, that it's not by works of the law at all, it's by faith only, he was persecuted. And that leads us up to where we're at here in Galatians 5, where Paul had asked these Galatian people, you ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? And of course, as we talked about, the truth of the gospel, that the truth that the gospel is that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. He's talking about the persuasion that you have to add works to your faith. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, as we talked about last week. Just a little bit of law, it just works its way into the whole lump of dough and messes the whole thing up. But then he changes his tune a little bit. He says, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. So there, someone had come in teaching these wrong things. But here's the thing, and I, brethren, verse 11, if I still preach circumcision, and you can substitute law, because as we talked about last week, it was a whole big package. You keep one law, you have to keep the whole thing. So if I'm still preaching the law or works, that why do I still suffer persecution? The offense of the cross has ceased. See, that was the offense of the cross. The offense was that it had nothing to do with works. And it only had to do with faith. It wasn't about circumcision. It wasn't about keeping the law of Moses. So that's why the Jews were offended. Because Paul was going around saying you'd no longer have to keep the law of Moses to his fellow Jewish people as believers. And so that was the offense of the cross. Works added to faith. And Paul got pretty bold and strong in what he said here. He strongly worded his next sentence, I wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. That's the New King James Version.
ESV says, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Yeah. So excuse me while I cringe for just a minute.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't holding back with what he thought about those who are troubling these people who simply... they simply came to Christ by faith because that's what God intended. The Gentile people had been far off without any covenant. They'd been far off from God without, with no hope and without God in the world is what Ephesians 2 says. And God said, I'm going to make a way for them to come to me simply by faith, by the blood of Jesus. That's it. That's it. No works necessary, nothing. And then these people had come in and were troubling them, were unsettling them, and Paul was pretty angry about it, and he let them know how he felt about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at verse 13, for you, brothers, have been called to liberty. This is what he started out the chapter with, verse 1. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but again, through love, serve one another, something he alluded to just a few verses before. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Problem? Nobody could do it. Nobody could do it perfectly. Nobody could do it to the standard that was required. In other words, out of 613 commandments, rules, and statutes, if you could have just kept that one, mm-hmm. Why not just focus on the one? Why do you have to keep the whole law? Why do you have to follow every rule, commandment, and statute? Why is it that nothing could be removed and nothing could be added to that law according to God under the old covenant? Why is it that? But why wasn't there more focus on just do this?
Right.
I mean, the whole law was kind of wrapped up in that one idea. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's still part of the law that we are not under.
Right.
Okay. We do have a new motivation in love, But it's not the love that comes from the commandment, which nobody could live up to. It's love that naturally transpires because we have come to realize in Christ of God's love for us. And because we understand or begin to grow in our understanding of God's love for us, then we can authentically, not by command, but because we want to, we can willingly begin to love one another in the same way that we have understood God to love us. It's the same true with forgiveness. We've talked about that before. We forgive not because we're commanded to. We forgive because we realize that God has forgiven us. Who are we to withhold forgiveness to someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? For all the law is fulfilled in that one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, be aware lest you be consumed by one another. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, here's a biggie, with everything he just said leading up to this over these last few verses, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So a lot of people might want to hone in, Joel, on verse 14. Paul said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the danger, again, with just versology, staring at the verses, not looking at the trees that surround it. If you are led by the Spirit, that's a contrast to works of the flesh. You are not under the law. Big stuff.
Yeah. And I like to go back to verse 14 too, because I think it needs to be changed, because Paul says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. And then he says seven words. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
don't start the word thing again.
It goes back to a couple months ago where we did the meaning of the word. Anyway, that's just being silly there, but it's true what you're saying here. Paul's not telling these people to keep the law. The law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's leading up to something. Again, we got to understand the context. He's not saying do this. If anything, he could be telling these people that, yeah, sure, under the law, love your neighbor as yourself. Through that, the law was fulfilled in just loving your neighbor as yourself. But like you said, and like Paul said here, if you're going to keep one law, you got to keep the whole thing. Nobody could do it. So he's encouraging them to love one another, but he's not saying that the way to do it is to keep the law. Because like you said, what he led up to in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you don't even need that law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are not under the law. And that's what
someone else fulfilled the law for us,
yes,
right?
I mean,
or not necessarily for us, but someone fulfilled the law. His name is Jesus. Paul isn't encouraging people to try to fulfill the law.
Right, exactly. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And somewhat of a summary of everything he's been saying in this entire epistle. Being led by the Spirit means that you're not under the law. These people had come in and tried to put them under the law, had tried to put them under all these commandments. And Paul is saying, no, that's not the way. That's not the way of Christ. That's not the way that a person is justified, and that's not how we live our lives in Christ. And then he gets into some other things that, again, people take out of context. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I've heard that preached. And again, way out of context. Now take that. Okay, that's verse 19, 20, and 21. Take those sentences, those verses right there. Actually, that's one That's one sentence in what we call three verses. But just preach that, and you'll scare a lot of people into thinking that if they do these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But he has said over and over again, it's not through what you do. It's not through that. He's again making a point that, yeah, it's true that unbelievers will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not just because they do these works, but it's because they don't believe, because salvation and justification is by grace through faith alone, apart from works. But he says, he contrasts this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Again, let's understand, you can chuck the whole law aside, because under the law, all of these things, all these works of the flesh that are evident, you know, all of those things are, you know, that's what leads people to not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what he wants people to focus on. This is what he wants people to understand, the fruit of the Spirit. Again, he's contrasting flesh with spirit. He's contrasting law with spirit. That's the contrast here. Again, try not to just see the verses, but look at the big picture as a whole. Well, then we'll look a little bit more at the big picture in Galatians next week, you know, speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, these people who wanted the Galatians to be under the law, they were seeking to boast in these people, in getting them circumcised and in getting them to keep the law. That's what that was about. But Paul contrasts this again. It's a thing, it's an epistle of contrast here. Paul contrasts these fleshly works with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, boasting in fleshly works versus bearing God's fruit without law or boasting. We'll talk about that next week right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.